Les colloques du Collège de France.
Yeah, so thanks Yvonne for putting all this workshop here together and inviting me also to present this work. And thanks all of you for being here with this temperature. And I enjoyed a lot to stay near to Olga because she had this, this fan. Okay, let's go into my presentation. I will speak about also a kind of looking at the classical thing that we are doing, model order reduction in an, let's say, active learning way, also with combining classical approaches with machine learning at some point. But for instance, I want to go towards optimization and then finally to inverse problems. Where with inverse problems, I really mean infinite dimensional optimization problems where the considered, let's say, parameters that you want to optimize are fields and not just a number of parameters. So let's go into this. I first go with the motivation of the overall approach. Then I go to this integration of reduced basis with machine learning, which we did actually together with the group of Werner Hastong in Stuttgart. And then I will start to enter into the optimization framework where we deal with trust region framework where we embed our surrogates as model functions in the trust region framework. So let's go to the first overall scenario. So we want to consider PDE constraint optimization. And you imagine just that we want to solve such an optimization problem subject always to some PDE, which is here just in a shorthand notation. In my talk, I will focus on time-dependent problems. Also, this could probably indicate that you are dealing with stationary ones. And of course, if you want to solve such optimization problems, then the first thing to start with is classical solvers for optimization problems. And these are typically in the classical descent methods. So for those who are not too much in the optimization problem, it's always you start with some initial guess of a parameter or parameter vector or parameter field, mu zero, and then you iterate and you want to always in each of the steps get a reduction in the objective functional. And for this, you first construct a descent direction, which I denote dk, and then you go with a step tk to minimize along this direction, let's say. And in order to compute this descent direction, the classical thing would be gradient descent, where this descent direction is just minus the gradient of the objective function with respect to the parameters. And if you go to the classical theory of first optimized and discretized, then of course you look at the optimality conditions of this optimization problem. And this gives a good way to compute gradients from solutions of the PDE constraint, which I indicate with U, and the dual solutions of the PDE, which I indicate with P. So which means that whenever such a descent direction needs to be computed, you need to compute your PDE or duals or even derivatives of the PDE with respect to the parameter to get higher order derivative information like Hessians in the Newton scheme. So this is the task, which means that we are typically in this multi-query scenario where we have to solve a lot of these forward problems in order to solve the optimization problem. So now you could say, okay, we have the classical techniques like reduced basis methods or whatever your favorite technique is, so let's just take it. And actually this was also the first thing that people from our community did. So you take your favorite reduced scheme, and this color is the reduced scheme, your method is very fast and you converge immediately in the optimization problem. But if you really count the cost, then you all know that we have this offline phase where you put a lot of effort to construct a reduced model. And actually, if you take this also into account and you compare with a full order model convergence of the optimization problem, then it could be even worse, because I mean doing a finite element from the beginning is probably much faster than just the offline phase. So this was the starting point, and we wanted to construct reduced models, let's say on the fly during the optimization problems, that learn the reduced model while you do these optimization loops. So this is the starting point. And the motivation for this, if you are just looking at a very, let's say, small dimensional parameter space with just two parameters, then you know that this optimization solver will start with some initial guess, and then going a descent direction to the next step, you see that the parameter domain is not actually needed completely to solve this optimization problem, but you follow just such a one-dimensional curve in this very high-dimensional parameter space, which gives rise to a much higher potential for reduction than just looking at classical techniques where you aim to have a good model for the whole parameter space. So this is something that you should keep in mind. And what I now present is first an approach where we combine three levels of approximation, namely a full order model with a reduced order model in the classical sense, and a machine learning model to speed up the overall process. And this is now first looked at in the context of just approximating parabolic PDEs. So we have an evolution PDE, A is a bilinear form, which is coercive. And if you do classical model order reduction like POD greedy, then of course you can do a reduced time stepping scheme in the reduced space in order to compute these solutions. So this is already some technology that we all know. And the question is, how can this be combined with machine learning in order to speed up the process? And the high potential to speed up is here, for instance, because the reduced order model needs somehow, for stability reasons, the same number of time steps as the full order model. So we have a reduction in space, but actually not a reduction in the time complexity. So this is something that is addressed with this approach. And the starting point is that we have a reduced order space, which means our reduced solution can be expressed in the reduced basis. And we all know that by Galerkin or Petrov-Galerkin projection, we have a means of computing these coefficients, which are now time-depending. And the idea here was that instead of computing the coefficients with the projected, let's say, physical model, we can also directly learn the map that maps from the parameter and the time to the coefficient in this expansion. And there are two ways to approach this. One is actually that a neural network or any other, let's say, approximation class is learned that maps from the parameter to these coefficients in the basis expansion for all times at once. So which means with one evaluation, you get the whole trajectory. And as you have this representation, you can reconstruct the full solution from that. Or the random access version, where you train a map where the input is the parameter and one time point. And this means you get a random access in time to the solution at a particular time, because these coefficients then give you the solution at this time. So these are two variants that you can do. And you see that this is a very universal macroscopic machine learning ROM approach, where, of course, there is a lot of freedom in what kind of architecture you use to perform this learning task. Once you have computed with this, let's say, neural network, the coefficients, then, of course, you can plug them in this representation, and you receive actually the solution in your subspace that you generated with the classical, let's say, POD greedy algorithm. So this is nice because I mean it combines now machine learning in a way with to speed up the computations. And what we also want to highlight is that we still use here the available physical model in order to get certification of the problem. So there is a lot of related work on either doing similar approaches or also going towards error estimation for such of combinations of POD with deep learning. And our approach is that actually up to now, for the machine learning, everything was fast and fine, but the certification was a missing point. And here is the hybrid approach, where you do not just combine, let's say, the physics-based model with the data-driven model, but you use the physics model to certify the database. So this is the general approach, and this is, if you look at residual-based a posteriori error estimates, then you notice that you get such upper bounds, but this is the residual at some time instance. And classically, we have this for the reduced basis method, but now the machine learning method lives in the same space as the reduced basis one, which means that this is a valid a posteriori error estimate also for your machine learning model, which makes, of course, use of the physics behind, because you need to compute the residuals. And we take the typical offline-online decomposition of the computation of this error from the reduced basis also to certify the machine learning. So this is a nice technology that we have at hand. And this means we can actually go to use this hierarchy of models in a type of black box manner. So whenever you are interested to get a solution of the PDE for a given parameter, you first call the cheapest model, which is the machine learning model. You have the error estimator at hand. You can check whether you are okay with the error of the machine learning model. If yes, then you just exit the result. If not, you go to the next higher level and you go towards the more accurate reduced basis method. You again check for the error and you return the reduced basis solution if it's okay. And if not, you fall back to the full order model, where you at least assure, let's say, by the classical techniques that you can trust this full order model here. The interesting part is that whenever you go from one level to the next and you compute solutions on the next more accurate level, you create training data, and this training data is again used to improve the model. So in that way, this is a self-training box where the machine learning and reduced basis method is created on the fly while querying with the parameters. So it's not in a greedy fashion, it's just walking through the optimization problem and learning the corresponding models. Okay, this can be done, and the first thing that we did was just based on functional evaluations for an optimization problem without primal dual solutions, which is not the best and clever, most clever thing to do. But what you see here is this is the iterations in such an optimization problem, so it was 150 iterations. And at the beginning, of course, your full order model is once called by this black box hierarchy. And what you see here on the axis is the runtime in seconds in a logarithmic scale. So you see that there is a huge computational time to compute one time trajectory for the finite element model. But then automatically the other models are trained, initiated. And if you go into the further iterations, then you see whenever these yellow bars are selected, then we compute the reduced basis solution. And from that, the machine learning part is created, and the green ones are the evaluations of, let's say, the machine learning model, where here we use actually a kernel interpolation strategy that comes from the group of Bernhard Hastung here in Stuttgart. So you see that here, in this particular example, with only four full-order model evaluations, time-dependent, so you have the whole trajectory in time, you are completely able to solve this optimization problem, and there are only some intermediate instances where the reduced basis method is called to generate more training data for the machine learning, and everything else was done here with a very fast machine learning model. So we took this and we wanted to put this now in a more mathematically accurate framework for optimization, and therefore we combine this now with the trust region approximation framework that we also developed before for just using reduced basis and full order models. So the objective here is, again, we have some objective function, which is such linear quadratic with some regularization here. subject, we want to minimize subject to such a parabolic PDE, where now also the parameters could be time dependent or not. So this is both possible. And of course, you want to have efficient evaluations of the Jacobian or the gradient in order to be able to solve these optimization problems. And we want to make use of this hierarchy of reduced basis, machine learning, and full order models. And the so-called error-aware trust region method takes the idea of classical trust region methods. So if you are familiar with classical trust region, this means that you have a highly nonlinear objective functional, and then locally you replace it with a second-order Taylor approximation. This gives you a nice convex function, and you can solve this very nice convex optimization very easily. This is now in a different flavor because we do not replace the objective functional by some convex approximation, but we replace it by the objective functional that you evaluate from the reduced model. So this is now our model function. So MK is now our reduced model. And this is, of course, then changing while it's being retrained in this process. And error-aware means that the trust region is not just some ball around some initial point where you trust your Taylor expansion. But here you take the availability of a posteriori error estimator for the objective functional in order to say I trust my model whenever the relative error in the objective functional is smaller than a given tolerance. So this is error-aware trust region, and then you solve this intermediate optimization problems, and this is sketched here. So you start at the initial parameter. Your trust region is now close to a ball, this region around, and here you can now start with the reduced model until you hit the boundary. At the boundary, you don't trust the model anymore, and here you do some full order calculations in order to enrich the model and get a better model. But also at the same time, you decrease the trust region because in the end you want to converge to the really accurate solution. And this means in the next step, the trust region gets this elongated form, so a lower tolerance, but with an enriched model. So this means actually that also the first point is, of course, inside the region. And again, you have now the new model and you iterate until you hit the boundary. And this is the outer loop where then again here you create some new information from the full order model. And if you now put this all together with the multi-fidelity reduced basis machine learning approach, then you get a complete also mathematically valid analysis for that, because I mean, you compute now primal solutions, dual solutions, and from the primal and the dual you can compute the gradient. And in order to have really this whole thing working, you need a rigorous a posteriori error estimate for the primal, for the dual equation. Putting these two together, you can compute rigorous a posteriori error estimate for the objective functional, and also if you go one order higher for the gradient of the objective functional. And as I told you, this quantity is actually needed for the algorithm for this error-aware trust region scheme. So therefore, we need actually to have access. So I don't go into the details here, but what you see now is that we have included our black box in this trust region algorithm, where here with the outer loop from time to time, actually the FOM solution, the full order model, is evaluated in order to enrich the trust, so the interior model. And the interior model has now two hierarchies with the machine learning and the reduced basis. And this internal machinery works in the way that I gave you before, which means that it's always checked whether the machine learning is converged or has good accuracy. When not, the reduced basis is used. The data that is created, it is automatically used to retrain and improve the machine learning model. Okay, with this all included, I come to some benchmark problem that we used already in other publications, where this is the objective functional. You want to
optimize the temperature in one of the rooms given such a floor plan where the heaters and also the heat conductivity of the walls and windows are parameters in the system such that this is the heat conductivity field for one particular parameter configuration. This is one heater on a lot of other heaters. So this would be the forward problem with this heater on, and this would be the dual solution. Just to give you a flavor of the solution. And what you see now in this error plot, so this is the error in the parameter, where this is the optimal parameter, and this is the value of the objective functional. And on the x-axis, you have the computational time while you do the transregion outer and inner loops. And you see that with the classical full-order model, you would have this convergence behavior, like the blue line here. This is the full-order model, only the full-order model used. And then this orange line is what we did before, just combining the full-order and the reduced-order model. And you see that the green line, this is now with this hierarchy involving, in addition, the machine learning and the speed-up that you get from this triple hierarchy of models. And if you look at the same plot, how this method really performs, and this is now for the primal solution and for the dual solution, where on both sides we built this hierarchy of models, then again you see that with like five full order model evaluations, some reduced and the rest machine learning, you actually solve this problem, and this gives actually the speed up that was on the table with the CPU time before. So this is all nice, but now I want to proceed a little bit further. Okay, this was the speed up that we get for this technology for the overall problem. And I just recall there is no offline time. So now we are really including all computational time without any offline. So we go next to inverse parameter identification. And let me first give you a little bit the setting for that. So it's actually a little bit the same, but now our parameter is a parameter field and not just like 40 parameters or 50, which we had in the examples before. So we look at a forward equation, which is again a parabolic equation. We denote by S the solution operator, where a parameter field is mapped to the solution of the PDE. And this parameter field can be the diffusivity in the problem, or it can be some space-dependent or time-dependent reaction rates. So it's really fields that you have. And in addition to the solution operator, you have an evaluation operator, C, and the concatenation gives you the forward operator, which maps actually the parameter field to some observable that you can actually measure. And this means that whenever such a parameter field is given, you can apply the forward operator, and this gives you some simulation of the output. And of course, the inverse problem is now that you have given some data with noise from measurements, and you want to solve the inverse problem, which means you want to construct the parameter field Q that, when the forward operator is applied, is closest to the noisy data that you observe. So this is classical inverse problem. And of course, you all know that in this form, these inverse problems are actually ill-posed, and ill-posed means that here, this forward operator is not continuously invertible, which means if noise level goes to zero, you will not converge towards the solution for noise level zero, actually. And this, of course, is a mess, and you need to deal with this, but this is well known in the inverse problems community. And one possibility and means is a regularization. And if you combine this with some approximation of the, in general, nonlinear forward operator, this is the iteratively regularized Gauss-Newton method that I will build on. And then, of course, you have the problem that now, with all the technology that we have developed for solving optimization problems, we have this high dimensionality or infinite dimensionality of the parameter domain, and this means that our approach breaks down from the beginning, because everything is relating on a fine parameter decomposition of the problem. And if this is very high dimensional, then you cannot benefit from this technology at all. So this is from the beginning not working if you don't do something else. So let's start with the baseline method to solve these inverse problems versus this regularized Gauss-Newton method. And this means that in substeps, you actually solve such an optimization problem where now the nonlinearity is approximated by a first-order Taylor approximation. So this is the first part that goes into the method. So you see that we freeze the nonlinearity in QK and we do a Taylor expansion around. And in addition, we introduce a regularization, which is here this Q minus Q naught, where this is a regularization center in an appropriate norm for the regularization. It could be an H1 norm or an L2 norm, depending on the problem. And this is now an optimization problem for a fixed parameter alpha k, which is the regularization parameter. And in this theory of this regularized Gauss-Newton, you should choose this as a null sequence in an appropriate way in order to get actually convergence towards the solution. Okay, and this is all very well known. And in order to really control that this linear approximation of the nonlinearity is close enough to the nonlinear objective functional, you actually need to adjust this approximation step alpha k here. And this is checked by checking such a condition such that these errors are close to the nonlinear objective errors that you actually are aiming for. At least you should not be too far away with these constants from these actual evaluations. And then you go with this algorithm where in each substep you solve this optimization problem and then you iterate and you change the alpha k's in the outer loop. Okay, so the problem that remains is this high dimensionality of the parameter field. And also here, of course, the idea from the beginning is we want to exploit somehow a parameter reduction also in the parameter field. So let's think we would have a reduced parameter space. So this is the admissible parameter space, and we would like to have a reduced parameter space, let's say with number of degrees of freedom comparable to the reduced primal or dual solution space. If this would be available, of course, then the parameter field could be expanded in this basis. And this would then be of a reasonable size, let's say 50 or 100 and not thousands. Okay, and this is something that we could deal with the scheme that we already had. So this means if you plug this into your, let's say, operators, like in the bilinear form and the operators generated from it, then you see you automatically get such an affine decomposition of the operators where the number of components is now just a reduced parameter dimension instead of the high dimensional finite element parameter dimension. And therefore, the method that I showed you just before can be directly applied. So the only obstacle is how to generate these parameter spaces. And I think some of you might know that there is also a technique developed here by Yvonne and Olga and Albert, where you first construct, let's say, the parameters, and then from that you can go to construct the fields. Here we want to do everything on the fly at once without having this a priori phase, okay? And the idea how to do that was first developed by us in this stationary case and now extended to this time-dependent case, and it relies on the following observation. So if you remember this optimization problem here, then you can look at the first-order optimality conditions of this regularized internal optimization problem. And this gives you this set of first-order optimality conditions. And you see and recover that for this interior loop, you have a primal state equation, you have a dual state equation, and you have an equation that comes from the differentiation with respect to the parameter. And if you look at this third equation, Okay, then you realize that you have the update in the parameter and you have this term, and this, with the knowledge of the system, relates actually to the gradient of the objective functional. And this indicates that your solution in the parameter space should lie, or should at least have this component in the space where it lives. Okay, and this is the strategy that we then actually use. We start at the beginning with taking the Q0, the centralization of the regularization, as an initial guess of the parameter space. And then in all the iterations, we take this gradient information to actually enrich the parameter space. And in that way, while doing the iteration in the optimization problem, whenever we come to the boundary of the trust region and we really compute new information with the full order model, we take also this additional information to increase the dimension of the parameter spaces. Okay, with this ingredient, you can now formulate the overall method, where the only thing that was now dealt with is the construction of the parameter space. And then, of course, everything goes completely in the same way as I gave you before in this constrained optimization environment, where you had a moderate number of parameters. Okay, if you do the analysis, then the analysis that we had before transfers also to the analysis here, which means that also here we can show an efficiently computable a posteriori error bound for the objective functional. And this is the thing that we need in this error-aware trust region algorithm. And here you see explicitly how this error estimate is actually constructed. So it includes the error estimate that you have for the primal, and it also includes some evaluation of the residual of the dual in the corresponding discrete dual norms. But everything here can also be offline, online decomposed and efficiently computed. And this is now used in the same context as before. So using this error estimate that I have just shown you and using the same type of outer iteration using the trust region framework. And this is then here in a very short notation, the overall algorithm that incorporates now not the machine learning part. So this is something that needs to be done, but we have it with the full order and the reduced order model part. And we can apply it to such kind of inverse problems. So this is a time-dependent heat equation. This is the conductivity, the heat conductivity field that we want to reconstruct from the data. And this is the result of the inverse problem with this iteratively regularized Gauss-Newton if we just use the finite element FOM computations. And this is the reconstruction that we get with our trust region algorithm and the simultaneous construction of the reduced space also for the parameter space. So there is no a priori knowledge how to choose this parameter space in the method. Okay, and if you look into the evaluation of the scheme, so this is actually the CPU time, and this is the error for the full order model until you reach a certain threshold that coincides with the noise level that you impose. And this is now the new method. And if you compare actually how large is the reduced basis for the parameter approximation, and this is given here by NQ, then you see that with 68 dimensions in the parameter field, you are completely able to solve this problem. Okay, and this gives you, of course, then also the speed up, which is in this order, also here without any preparation phase, with any offline online decomposition. All the technology, including error estimates, is in the computation. Okay, this is what we had, let's say, half a year or a year ago. I want to go to the newest results that we have just very fast. So we transferred now the whole technology also to structural health monitoring or defect detection in material. So here we look at actually a 3D model of thin plates, which we model with the elasticity, time-dependent elasticity problem, and we have a thin plate where an actuator gives some sound waves into the material, and from that we want to detect defects in the material. So this is the application, and the defect is actually captured in the distribution of the Lamé parameters of the elasticity model, where here we stay to a linear elasticity model, and I mean nonlinear is subject to what we are currently working on. So again here, so this is the configuration of the plate, which has also a thickness, so it's a 3D model, and we had different positioning of the sensors. So you have actuators. In this model, the actuator is in the center where you put acoustic waves and you measure the result at the sensors, which could be either you measure the whole solution or you measure the solution here at sensors at the boundaries, or we have also a configuration where the sensors are just distributed at the surface of the plate. Okay, and this is the excitation profile that you put as a sound wave into the system. And this is the typical pictures that you get. So this is a situation here where you have two point defects, a stronger one, and another point defect which is not so strong, which means that the material is in the background a homogeneous material, and it has certain points where these Lamé parameters are different from the background material. Okay, and this is actually the full order reconstruction that we obtained by using a noise level of 10 to the minus 2. And this is, with our technology, the result of the inverse problem with the transregion method. So you see this is very close to the full order method. But of course, not better than that. So this is always the reference that we have. And for this kind of evaluations, and we did this for 2 points, like 1 point, for 3 points, and we did it also for more complicated large-scale defects, we got this kind of result. So this is the reconstruction for these individual cases, again, with this noise level. So you can say, okay, might be good or not good, depending how you look at these pictures. I will show you that this, let's say, not perfect reconstruction does not come from the method, but it comes from the noise. I will show you this in a minute. But with noise, this is what you get. And these are the evaluations of the CPU time. So you see this is for the three defect cases, like two defects, one, and three defects. The full order model time and the transregion time and the speed up that you get. So it's always a speed up of about 21 that you get in the overall computation of these results. And just to make sure that the reconstruction is really due to noise, we changed the noise level. So you see now here a sequence. This was 10 to the minus 2 noise, where we get this result, and these are now all with the reduced model. This is with 5 times 10 to the minus 3, this is 10 to the minus 3, and this is actually if noise level is equal to 0, and you see that the method converges with noise level to 0, and you actually detect very, very nicely these point defects. But I also hint towards this because you might consider this hyperbolic elasticity problem here as a difficult problem. You deal with waves, and we all know that there might be problems with the decay of the Kolmogorov inwards. And this is actually what you see if you go towards regimes where you want to really reach small noise levels, which are interesting for the mathematics, but it's not the typical situation that you have in practice. Because in practice, this is a quite realistic noise level. But if you compute for all these different kind of noise levels with the classical finite element method and with this transregion reduced model, then you see with this noise level 10 to the minus 2, this is the red color, both methods stop at this level, okay? And then this is for the finer level, it goes until here with the tolerance. With this level, it goes on to here, and this is noise level 0. And in this part, actually, this phenomena of bad convergence of the Kolmogorov inwards really, really is hit. And then at some point, actually, it might be that the full order model is as fast as the reduced order model. And this gives, of course, the current limitations of the scheme on the one hand side, or the challenges that we need to address at the next step in order to really get away from these linear approximation schemes in such a hyperbolic regime. So with this, I'm done. Just a hint, we did also some articles on multiscale methods doing localized model order reduction and combine this with this transregion type of models. And we also did some more advanced optimization problems for a black oil exploitation where actually the code is not accessible and you just take machine learning reduced surrogates and you neglect the intermediate step of reduced basis at all. And if you're interested, please check for the article. So thanks a lot for your attention. And I should say that currently a lot of this work is done by a PhD student of mine, Benedikt Klein, and it's in cooperation with respect to optimization with the group of Stefan Volkwein, with respect to inverse problems with Thomas Schuster, and all the machine learning part with the group of Bernard Hasel. Thanks.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.